Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, midweek, Wednesday, October 1st, first day of the month of October, 2025, 12 minutes past the hour, 10-1-25. How about that? 3 months left in the year 2025. Just rolling right along here. Now, it is midweek, but I'm telling you, every time, every morning, I hear the weather report, people are getting upset that we are now into October and we are still having warm temperatures. Now, I know people like warm weather, but I think people are getting a little tired of the over 80 degrees. I think people want to shut the air conditioning off and they want to get to the 70 degree temperatures. I was listening to a meteorologist, I think, on Channel 10 yesterday, and he was talking about how we are 12 to 14 degrees above where the temperatures should be. So we should be between 70 and 75 degrees right now, and we certainly are not. We're well over 80. We're going to be almost at 90 again this weekend. And again, that all sounds great, but going into October, that does not do much for the seasons. And also, with the water shortage we have with aqua, I mean, we learned about that 2 weeks ago. Is anybody really using less water? Are you taking three-minute showers? Are you waiting for your dishwasher to be full before you run it? Are you only doing laundry when you have a full load? Are people paying attention to this? Because we had about 3 days of rain. It was very light rain. It did not amount to a whole bunch. So are people really heeding the warning? Because eventually, if this is not remedied, the water pressure will go down, and then everybody's going to have to boil their water. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully we are using less water. But I have a feeling we're going to hear something from Aqua pretty soon if people are not doing that and we do not get any rain in the forecast, which it doesn't look like we're going to anytime soon. Should mention phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, I guess the big news story of the morning is the federal government shut down last night at 12:01 a.m. The Republicans and the Democrats could not come to an impasse, and the government has shut down for the first time in 7 years. The last time it shut down was 2018. So here we go. Now, what's going to happen? This could be it's a complicated subject. And it really just depends how you feel about government at this point. The Democrats are saying, we want better health care. We want a better health care deal for the people. And that's why they are not willing to agree to the budget that the Republicans have put forth. And it seems like right now, the Republicans are saying that we have done enough. And that President Trump is saying, now that the government is shut down, if there are employees who work for the federal government that we don't need, I can fire them or furlough them or do what needs to be done. I don't know. It looks ugly. People are threatening each other. We had this happen back in June, late June, early July, but they were able to come to an agreement to extend it, extend the government being open for 3 months. But I think the Democrats took such a beating at that time for agreeing to do that, that they were not going to do it again. So here we are. the government is shut down. I'll tell you something that's interesting about this. I mean, it's getting a lot of attention now. It's getting a lot of attention this morning as I went through the morning periodicals. But coming up on this government shutdown, yeah, it was covered here and there, but it was not covered like it normally is. It's normally, you know, a clock in the corner of the screen, and everybody's talking about it, and if we don't get something done, the government's going to shut down. Honestly, I did not hear a whole lot of talk about it until really yesterday. And even yesterday, the talk of it was not super heavy. So, you know, here we are. And I see a lot of people on social media, because here we are, social media is the way we do everything now. A lot of people saying, shut it down. And it tends to be Republicans saying, shut it down. Now, I'm not really sure what that's all about. I don't know why anybody would want to shut down the government. I'm not really sure. I've even seen some local government people saying shut it down. So maybe that's because they feel government's too big. Is that the reason they're saying shut it down? I don't know. I know a lot of people are not going to get paid who work for the federal government. That's one of the big things that happens. Will people get the money they need from the federal government? That usually does happen, but the longer the shutdown goes on, the more that becomes in question. I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know how they're going to come to an agreement on this. Are they able to agree? You know, this is the problem with government. I'm going to have to go on a little soliloquy here about government this morning. Why can people not get along? Because I don't see either side right now willing to give an inch here. Nobody is willing to give an inch, and nobody wants to give an inch, and they don't talk to each other, and it's not, okay, I'll do this if you do this. No, we don't do that anymore. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Happy shutdown day. Have we shut down yet?
What? Yeah, we shut down at midnight last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes those midnights get me confused, you know, like if it's midnight I consider that still last night. If I went to sleep, it's still last night. But the last shutdown was also under Trump.
It was 18.
And yep. Yeah, I have family. Ironically, we were just talking about this like 2 weeks ago because of the looming shutdown. I have my cousin's husband was in the Navy for 6 years, and he retired from the Coast Guard after 22 years. So he did not quite 30, and he went in when he was 18, so he got out, you know, relatively young, and then he went to work for the TSA, and he has been with the TSA, I think she said, for 13 years now. He's went from actually working in the airport as somebody that fuels you up to he is now an instructor in Georgia. So if you're going to be a TSA agent in that region of the country, you go there to train. And when she was, I talked to her, it was September 20th or so, his job was not even guaranteed. Now he's been with the TSA and he's, you know, he teaches TSA school, and they're not even sure that his center was going to be one of the ones that doesn't just actually get the axe after this whole shutdown is over.
Well, it's interesting, and did you feel that this, because we've been through these before, the last one was 7 years ago, and we've come close to them in the last 7 years, but
they threaten them every year it's lingering.
Right, but did you feel that this was, because they knew that there was a pretty good chance this was going to happen, because no side was going to give.
I didn't figure it wouldn't happen, it was fully expected, that's why we were discussing it. 2 weeks ago. But back to the point of my cousin really quickly, when this did happen 7 years ago or so, he did not receive his government, his military retirement. He did not receive his TSA pay. And then he did something else. I think it was reserves. It might have been that he was in the reserves still, but there was all of their income was gone, poof, overnight. So I want people to think about that. They're saying, now thankfully they're smart and save money and she worked and they could afford to live, But all these people running around here saying shut it down, could you afford for your income to just poof overnight?
Well, that's the question I wanted to get to. The two big questions that I thought were odd, because yesterday was the day that pretty much everybody knew it was going to happen. They were not getting along.
Oh, but wait a minute, Scott. He still got forced to go to work. Since he was TSA, he still had to go to work.
Oh, well, yeah. Well,
for free. But
well, yeah,
sorry,
well,
I forgot to add
no,
that part.
Well, the thing, I mean, did you feel that the coverage yesterday from everybody was kind of lax? I did not feel that it got the coverage that, that government shutdowns normally get as we get up to the 11th hour.
Because it doesn't affect the majority of us, so the majority of us don't care.
Yeah, but normally when a government shutdown, when we're on the brink of it, it gets a lot of coverage. I mean, it's in the papers. People are talking about it. I did not see a whole lot of that. It was not, maybe it's just because I don't watch the news, and I really don't watch the news channels.
It wasn't a lot of it. Wasn't on the news.
Yeah, it did.
Sure.
It. I mean, I was watching, when I was listening to, or watching, I guess, the weather report last night, the local news usually covers that pretty heavy, and I think there was a little story about it, but it wasn't anything big, being that it was the last day.
I'm watching the news right now and had to ask you if it happened or not.
Yeah, it's being covered very lightly. And I guess the other point that I want to make in this whole thing is that I really don't know how they're going to come to any type of agreement in this, because it seems like nobody wants to give anything and people just want to call names. So I don't know how we get out of this.
Well, I don't either, but I suppose when the TSA finally says, I'm not showing up to work anymore, and these other people say, you know, your Social Security Administration people, because if you want to go to your Social Security office today, those people are sitting there working for free. Well,
yeah, but
I mean, they'll get paid eventually, hopefully, but they're being forced to come to work for no pay right now.
Well, I guess I didn't catch on to this, but why were people locally, and I'm sure this was happening all over the country, but why were they saying shut it down? And it tended to be Republican people who were saying that.
The only thing I can figure is that they think it's some kind of flex that, like, you won't do what we say is fine, we'll shut down the whole government. You know what? That really starts getting bad. Okay, we want to prolong this. I think the last one was like 6 weeks, my cousin said. They didn't get paid for 6 weeks or something like that. And then
I think it was over 30 days last time.
Yeah, I think it was about, I can't, she had it nailed down to the day, of course, because it affected her life. But, it, you know, they see it as this flex. Now, we keep this going on as you and I are sitting here talking about we don't know how they're going to come to an agreement on anything. Now you're going to start talking about grant programs getting administered to states and things like that, because they're going to run bare bones government. Not everybody's being forced to come to work. So they're going to run bare bones, but, you know, TSA is essential, Social Security is essential, IRS is essential. But these places that hand out grants or whatever, they might be down to a third of their workforce. And now we're going to be waiting on things that might be essential to us because the government shut down.
But
it'll be a trickle-down effect unless they agree and get it done.
But, I mean, okay, so
why are people cheering for chaos? I don't know, Spears. I don't get it.
Yeah, but here's what I don't understand. I mean, if you listen to what's been going on, pretty much the Democrats do not like the health care deal in the new budget. So that's pretty much.
Okay, well, Trump is cutting children four and under in the state of Ohio. DeWine stuck his neck out on that one. And now we're not even allowed to do that. We're not even allowed to make the state decision to keep children on Medicaid. But, yeah, so that's why I think people are a little upset about health care.
Right, so the Democrats are sticking their neck out on this one, and that's what their position is. You need to do something with this, and then we'll make a deal with you on all the other stuff. And the Trump position, the Republican position, seems to be that,
let
okay.
Him die.
Well, it's let's let the government shut down, and then I will start firing people who we don't need. And I don't know why. See, here's what I can't figure out.
Okay, you know what? That's fine. I'm at the point now that I'm willing to endure the next 3 years to watch the Republicans implode, because you start taking people's health care, you start firing non-essential people, states can't get grants. People can't get income tax returns. Fine, let it all happen, and another Republican will never be in the White House in my lifetime. another MAGA anyway. Yeah,
but how is this a popular stance, I guess? I mean,
It's not. I don't think the MAGAs realize they're not as popular as they think. And they're really, really, really even starting to piss off their other Republicans.
Well, I guess so you're going to fire people because there's a government shutdown who work in the government because mm-hmm. you feel that they are not essential, that we will operate without them. But is the government operating well? And how is that going to hurt the Democrats? How is that going
to
affect...
I thought that's what Doge was supposed to do. Isn't that what we did at the beginning of the term? We just slashed and cut and everything else?
Well, I don't know, and I was also, and again, it's who you believe and what you believe, but I was also watching a story on this yesterday, and because we are in the tariff situation that we're in, and because we are in the inflation situation that we're in right now,
everything's perfect. Well, A1's coming.
Well, the government shutdown of 2018 did not hurt us as bad as this possibly could. Time of year it's happening, close to the holidays, and also the idea that, that things are already not very stable in the economy right now. So,
let them eat cake, Spears.
Well, is it because you don't... Well, I think those Congress people and senators have to get reelected. This is really not the precedent. I mean, if the Senate... came to a compromise here, they could open back up the government. I don't understand any of this.
No, none of it makes sense. And I guess some senators are coming. I don't understand any of it. It's all, like you said, they do have to get reelected. But how is any of this good for the country? And we just look like absolute fools on the world stage. I don't care what anybody thinks, if they think that's true or not, it is. The world is perceiving us as just absolutely insane right now.
Yeah, but you know people will come out and they will argue their side like we do everything. And this is why I was saying last week, I'm getting
then
let's
force them to go to work and not get paid. Let's force their children and grandchildren off of their health insurance. Let's make Congress work for minimum wage and take all of their perks and benefits away.
Yeah, but you know, here's how this game works right now. This game works, my side is right, so the reason you're in trouble is because of the other side. That's what both sides will say right now. And I don't know how to talk
Trump's
to somebody like
that. Trump's doing a pretty convincing job proving that it's his side's fault. Did you see where the newspaper or the journalist was pushed down yesterday by an ICE agent?
Oh, yeah.
Arresting someone?
Yeah.
And then we had, did you see the body cam footage of when the mayor of New Jersey was arrested?
That
just came out last night.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone from the attorney or the United States Attorney General's office, the deputy attorney general, is ordering that a mayor from a city be handcuffed publicly. And the charges were eventually dropped, but they did it strictly to humiliate. I mean, I don't understand why people aren't saying this is the kind of stuff, and this is the kind of stuff that went on before Nazi Germany started, but it was what led up to Nazi Germany. We're assaulting the press, physically assaulting. The man had a neck brace on, left on the hospital stretcher.
Well, the thing of it is I don't know how far this is going to go, but I assume with the precarious position that the economy is in, this is going to be rather hurtful for a lot of people and rather hurtful for the economy. And on the whole, I truly don't know how much money we have saved up to fund these programs, you know?
I know most people don't care about this. This can come down to college, your Pell Grants, and things like that, because all of that stuff for winter quarter, or semester, you can tell how old I am, the winter semester will start November-ish. You know, you've got to have your FAFSA and all that stuff in by now, and your paperwork for loans and everything else ready to go for school that starts in January. And you could be delaying tens of thousands of people from going to college in January, worst case scenario.
Well, and you know, they say they try to keep Social Security out of this, and they say they try to keep Medicaid and Medicare and all that. But, I mean, there is...
No, Medicaid's getting slashed. It's Medicare that doesn't get touched.
Well, right, but isn't that what the Democrats... Isn't that why they won't sign off on this? Because they want to they want to talk about health care. They want to talk about I'm trying to think of...
They're trying to repeal some... parts of Obamacare, which I know people are still
anti-Obamacare,
they don't realize that the things that they're trying to repeal are actually beneficial to them.
I think subsidies.
Well, yes, that's why Ohio isn't going to be allowed to keep children on Medicaid, because the federal government's saying, no, we're not going to let you use money for that.
Well, and isn't that really the only thing the Democrats right now are saying? Hey, well, if you can fix this, if you can make a deal on the health care, then we'll...
Yeah, if we cannot let people die in the streets, we'll make compromises on the other stuff.
Right, so here...
That's a big deal to me, in case people couldn't tell. I mean,
well,
I have grandchildren that... The father just got a different job, but the job he was at, he worked 60 hours a week. The job that he was just at, he couldn't afford the $900 a month premiums for health care, let alone to be able to take the kids to the doctor on top of that to meet your deductible. So, yeah, I'm a little shitty that a 4 and 5 year old or a 3 and 5 year old couldn't go to the doctor to get an ear infection checked out without paying $400, $500. And Donald Trump wants to make sure that kids that age do not have health insurance. So parents think of this, of all your little ear infections and your coughs and your bronchitis and your tonsillitis and all this other stuff that kids get and need to be seen for. No, instead, we're going to let their parents accumulate bills that they cannot pay, ruin their credit, or we're going to let kids go without health care and die of preventable illnesses. So yeah, screw the Republicans that won't do anything to help that.
Well, two things I'd like to say here. Number one is that I do think it's interesting, because obviously we had a lot of Donald Trump support going into the election on this station last year. There were a lot of people who spoke out very strongly for Donald Trump and why he was the best choice and the things he was going to do. You know, that's all dissipated. I cannot remember the last time anybody called in and defended anything Donald Trump has done.
You don't remember the last time Cody called in?
Cody led the charge on it, but there were others. I mean, he certainly was not the only one. And, you know, I don't know why that has happened. Why do you think there has been a dissipation of that?
Well, because day one still isn't here. And I see that gas prices have gone down in Ohio, but when I was in Michigan last week, 2 weeks ago, their gas is still over $3.50 a gallon.
Well, there's that. And I guess the other thing is, do you think if an election were held right now that it would change anything?
Yes.
So you think the Democrats are in good position next year?
No.
No.
No. But I think that we would have chosen the lesser of the two evils.
Oh, you think so? If we held the presidential election over?
Yes.
Okay. That we would
have... Yeah, that's what I thought you meant, that... I think that Kamala would have had a better chance, knowing what we know now. I'd like to think so anyway. But I see a lot of people crying about this, that, and the other. I know now that the economy is in the situation that we have more people that need jobs than there are jobs, where for a long time we were in the situation that there were more jobs than people. So unemployment was, I'm not going to get too far into the business weeds, unemployment was artificially low. Unemployment needs to stay right around 5% for your economy to work. That's just economic science. But we're now starting to get to the point where inflation's increasing, jobs are decreasing, housing's increasing, inflation's increasing. None of these are good things. And all of it was supposed to end on day one.
Well, I guess you get what you want. So anything going on with local government? It's been kind of quiet this week with no city council meeting.
Oh, well, you didn't hear we got another lawsuit filed on us?
Oh, another one in the city?
The city,
oh,
yeah.
Who's
filed
that?
Filed the 26th, I believe. The last name, it was someone who was, they were on a city transit bus. This happened in 2023. They were wheelchair bound. So apparently from what I'm reading, when someone gets on the bus in a wheelchair, they are strapped into place. Sounds like either they strap their chair in or like they use a shoulder belt to strap them, which makes sense because you'd be rolling all over the place if you didn't while you're making turns or whatever. So sounds like they strap them in. Well, the driver brakes hard, and I don't know, from what I'm reading, I don't know if the straps broke or the person wasn't strapped in correctly, but they were thrown from their wheelchair and suffered injuries, and they never recovered from their injuries, and they passed away.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, and the estate, the family, is suing the city.
Well,
over wrongful death.
I doubt we'll read about that in the Marion Star.
No, I doubt that, but there's a lot to that in that there aren't any, it doesn't seem like there's any maintenance, records of maintenance or, like, inspections of the handicap-assisted devices. Like, it doesn't seem like proper maintenance, that they were properly maintained or anything like that. If so, the records have not been produced yet. But based on the complaint that the straps and such on the buses, there's no documentation to prove that they've been taken care of, maintenance appropriately, et cetera. So faulty equipment, or I don't know. But that person lost their life because they were thrown from their wheelchair in a transit bus.
So why is this all happening now? I mean, these things happened before, but I don't remember the city getting sued.
We're in 5 lawsuits right now.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Why did this stuff not happen, you know, 4 years ago, 2 years ago?
Explain it to me. I don't know. I mean, you've got, well, I mean, in fairness, the Goodrich lawsuit started before Colin.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Under the same police administration and same law director. So we had the same police chief and same law director. So that happened under McDonald and Russell's watch. So we'll take Collins out of that one. You've got me versus Collins. So we can put Collins in that equation and also the city of Marion, which includes the law director, Mark Russell, because he's right in the thick of this in his inactions is what I meant. Okay, so then we've got Ratliff versus the city of Marion, which includes Jay McDonald, Chris Adkins, Courtney Rittenour, and we've also got Ray Grogan and Dave Stamoulis and Mark Weaver, who are assistant prosecutors. And then you've got this one now, and the last name of the person who lost their life is Rollins, but that is the city of Marion, and then that he actually, the accident happened before Collins, so we can't include Collins in on that. But we can include Russell because he was the law director. Let's see. What's that get me to? There's me, Goodrich, Russell, Ratliff, this one. Oh, and then we've got the housing one that we were told is over. Now, that's where we sued. They're letting these halfway houses, whatever you want to call them, pop up all over town in residential areas. And you and I have talked about this briefly. There was one that was very problematic. It had like 8 women living in one residential house. And then you had constant changing of tenants based on, you know, where they were in the program or if they failed the program or graduated the program. Then you had all the baby daddy drama and the new boyfriend drama. So those people begged for help. The neighbors begged for help for 2 years. And we finally sued them to get them out because they were violating zoning laws. And then they sued us back for unfair housing practices. Now, Russell told us when he asked for his last $10,000, you were there, he said that case should be wrapping up. Now, I looked it up. Now, it's very possible that there's an agreement between the lawyers, but I looked it up yesterday, and it is still pending in court. So the appeal has not been filed, or, well, it hasn't been finalized is the word I'm looking for. So that's 5 current lawsuits. One's supposed to be wrapping up, so that would take us down to 4.
So I guess we just continue on down the road here.
I'm telling you, we're getting us a Netflix series going on here, aren't we?
It's something. It's something. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, and I don't know how this all is the way it is. But, you know, I guess we'll all find out. I said in the beginning, and you know, people took it for what it was worth, I just said there was a different feeling in City Hall when the guard changed. And, you know, I had no idea at that time what it would be, but it certainly has been an interesting nearly 2 years now. It certainly is a different feel down there.
Oh, well, there's more to come. But that's for another day, another story. Because I've told you what the story is about. But I'm going to give people, the ultimatum to Dad that there's going to be about a 2-week more period that I'm going to keep my mouth shut on this. And then, boy, do I have a humdinger for you.
I'll be here.
Yeah, it's And when I say I'm giving people an ultimatum, I'm talking about the sheriff of Morrow County. I'm talking about detectives in Morrow County. I'm talking about the prosecutor in Morrow County. And they all better just get together and do whatever it is that they're going to do. Because if they want to control the narrative, they'll tell the story. If they want me to control the narrative, they'll let me get ahead of them. So, and it has to do with my mother's murder. That's all I'm going to say. It was solved, and it has to do with my mother's murder. So if they want to tell this story, if not, I will. Get on it, fellas. Okay. If not, yeah.
Well, we'll be here.
All right. Talk to you later,
Thank
Scott.
You. Bye-bye. All right, well, you know, very important and serious stuff there, and as time goes on, you know, we'll discuss it. We discuss just about everything here. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 42 minutes past the hour here. Well, as we said, government shutdown is where we are right now. Go ahead, caller.
Your city.
Well, as always.
Wow, didn't you give us something to love our city about?
Well, it's good to get those updates about what's going on.
Well, you know, you recall the video footage I sent you when I was attacked by somebody in a car in the Kroger parking lot. And Mark Russell didn't want to do anything to the chief of police. And they let one of their boys in blue lie on a report, and they didn't even accept my version of what had happened. It's pathetic. But anyway, have you said you don't get the Marion paper, do you?
No.
As I mentioned before, for $1, I get the Columbus Dispatch for 1 month. Plus, you can get the Marion Star with other publications. And I was surprised to see that they have a listing for people running for their charter commission. And they only had a few. They're going to do it in chunks, I guess. They'll be doing it today, tomorrow, whenever. And they're going in alphabetical order. And right off the bat, there's Ed Brown. And he's a current cop, and I'll just read the ones that the public needs to be made aware of, that these people should not be running for this commission because they're part of the administration or they're getting paid by the county. One county is Brian Lovell, a deputy sheriff. But when you connect the dots with Bill Collins putting his people to stack it to try to get 9 people out of 15 to control that commission. Those people that should not be voted for are Ed Brown, certainly Welcome Collins, B.J. Gruber, Brian Lovell, Jay McDonald, Juanita Rosvana, Mark Russell, Malcolm Smith, and Tom Stotts. These people are and have been suckling at the teat of the taxpayer, which that's fine. You've got those jobs. You have a position. You have some modicum of power. Why do you need to get on this commission to write a charter for Marion? I don't discount their participation as being an advisory council. They all have experience that could be perhaps invaluable in framing a charter for Marion, but they shouldn't be on the charter commission to vote, shall we push this on the city council or not, etc. So there's only four up there. But the interesting thing is Ed Brown was given quite a few more lines than the other few that were on there in today's paper.
Well, maybe he
a little more favoritism.
Maybe there. Well, maybe he spoke more. But hey, you got C. Klein is coming up. Have they contacted you?
Oh, this I wrote some stuff there. If I recall, I thought that it was limited, and I could maybe be confusing that with the League of Women Voters, which you're going to be covering the League of Women Voters Meet the Candidates.
Is that out there?
I'm asking.
Oh, am I going to be covering it? Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, I would hope, and I'm going to give a contact person there a call. I would hope that they don't do the same old crap that they've been doing. One question, hand the microphone down the line to the next person, you know?
Well, I think those are actually the league, not just the Marion League. I think because I moderated three or four of those events. And
you know, that's excruciating and boring, not to the to just those in attendance, but to the candidates as well.
Well, again, I have said I think that I don't think that's the local league's decision. I think that's the National League of Women Voters that make that decision. I think that's why they also do not call them debates. They call them Candidates Night. And I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Yeah, well, I'm debating whether to participate, if that's going to be the format and stuff, because, you know, person number one comes up with an answer. Now, everybody else down along the line can adopt some of that, tailor it to say the same thing, only with different words, et cetera, and you never get a true picture from the individual.
Well, now when I did it, there was, for every I'm trying to remember how this was done, but if the question, see, the questions were like this. Okay, you've got two city council races up there, and then you've got a charter commission race. So if the question was asked specifically of the charter commission race, or I'll use city council, for example, because we've done that before. This charter commission's a new thing. So if it was asked of that particular city council race, the first person got a chance to answer it, but then the person running against them got a chance for a rebuttal, and then the person it was originally asked of got a minute to rebut the rebuttal. So that's how it used to go.
Well, see, that's where if there's a challenger to a specific seat, where we got 15 seats.
Right, but I don't understand how that's going to work anyway, because when you have 23 people up there, if the Charter Commission committee gets asked a question, just going through all 23 members...
Oh, it's going to be hell.
Well, yeah, but I also don't know. Like you said, well, I might not show up. Well, if five show up, five are going to get a lot of attention.
Maybe, maybe not, you know. I mean, I doubt that Jason Schauber, has he ever showed up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jason showed up.
Oh, okay, well, yeah. Hopefully he will. But he failed to respond to the STARS questionnaire and that.
Oh, did it say that?
I recall, yeah, no response from Schauber. The ones that stood out in my mind were no response from Schauber and Ross Vanis, I believe. Did not. There were some others too.
But well, maybe they won't show up then. I don't know.
Here's something even more important. Well, this was the Marion Star, not the League of Women Voters. Here's something more important. Take a look at the sample ballot that the Board of Education has and tell me, is it clear that you know what you're voting for regarding the city charter? Because of the wording, the way I looked at it, and several other candidates for the charter commission, it's pretty vague and confusing. And I asked what's her name, Price, up at the board. I said, who wrote this? Well, we have to go by the statutes or whatever, but it was written by, and it was taken from the ordinance passed by city council. And that was signed. One of the signatures who signed it was Bill Collins, the mayor. So, again, that should be a red flag. The mayor should not be running.
And well, you know, that's something that can be said if wanted to be at these. The one thing about Candidates Night, I will say, the ones that I did, it was a chance, because the questions don't come from the moderator. The questions come from the audience, and the questions come from people calling in questions. So it does come from the public. It does not come from the moderator or the league. And also,
that format of passing, having the same question for all of them, why not let the audience stand up, ask the question of candidate A, D, X, Y?
Oh, that wouldn't, you couldn't do that. Because
why?
Because who's going to pick the audience members that get in and get out? I mean, you've got a certain amount of time.
Let them stand in line and go up to a lectern, or somebody stand there with a microphone and ask the question.
You think that would be a good idea until the people would say, well, why didn't I get my question in? Why wasn't I allowed to get my question in? Why does this have to happen this way? And some of the questions are very...
You know why they can get them? There shouldn't be any time constraints on this.
Well, you can't be there all night.
Why can't you be there for at least 4 hours?
Well, 4 hours is a long time for people to sit in a room.
Well, you know, legislation that is passed can last for a long time. So don't you think it's important that those candidates should be able to be questioned by whomever?
Well, I think if somebody wants to do that, they can do that, but I don't think listen, like I said, I moderated 4 of them, and you always had more questions than you were ever going to be able to get in, but some questions were repetitive. Some people were asking exactly the same question with just a little different wording, and that's what a moderator did, was keep time on people and also stop the duplication of questions. And if you just line people up, people who might be nervous in front of a microphone or asking a question directly, they could ask it in a derogatory way. They could hold, and then they don't want to stop talking. Then when the person starts to reply, they keep talking because they've got an open mic, which you cannot do.
That's why you need a moderator to say, okay, look, what is your question?
Well, but people...
They need to set the audience up beforehand.
Yep.
Keep your questions concise and to the point.
Well, again, I don't think that's going to happen. Watch any event where they've ever tried to... Even an author. They get an author and they say, let's take questions from the audience. And they say, now remember, be brief, be quick. They're not. When they get up there, because the answer... the person wants to ask something back, and you're not debating the audience. You're supposed to be informing people of something.
Well, you can only... The quality of the answer is contingent upon the quality of the question.
I thought they've always went well. The ones that I did were fine. And a lot of people listened to them. A lot of people watched them. A lot of people came. We always had a full house in the room. And I don't think anybody ever felt shortchanged as far as time goes. And when I moderated a few where you had the prosecutor, where you had the sheriff, where you had the county commissioners, where you had the clerk of courts, I mean, there were a lot of people up there. So, you know... Each race got a couple questions, and we got rid of all the repetitiveness, and time was kept on those races, and like I said, it had to move at one point to a bigger room because the audience was so big.
Where are they holding it? Is it still out at the senior center?
I think it is at the senior center, and that is usually packed that night.
Well, it doesn't take a whole heck of a lot to pack that place. But anyway, to what I would consider...
I think it's more people than show up for city council.
Do what?
I say I think it's a whole lot more people than show up for a city council meeting.
Probably so, you know. City hall is kind of intimidating to go into, whereas out at the Senior Citizens Center, you're more likely to have senior citizen members that know each other and say, hey, let's go, you know. But to all of those I consider viable candidates, I still hold out. I will be happy to give you your own pitch for social media so you can go above and beyond the limitations of Meet the Candidates. And just contact me. I've emailed a lot of these people, and I haven't heard back from them, which makes me wonder, gee, this is kind of strange. Are they serious about this? Do they really want to be on this commission?
Well, as I have said recently, we're a month away, and I don't think Charter City has been given much attention. I don't think people are talking about it. We said that people were going to be out there campaigning for it. I have not seen one yard sign from anybody campaigning for it. I don't see anything like that. And at this late date, I don't think we're going to see anything like that. And the idea that we were going to, I always thought was silly because we didn't have enough time. I don't think people understand it. And
That's what I'm trying to work out with, and I've seen on Marion Needs a Charter, Robert Landon has been putting some informational things in there.
Well, there you go.
And I'm hoping, working with some other people, to put together some videos for social media. What is a city charter? Why a city charter? And a listing. It's amazing how many cities in Ohio have their own charter.
Well, I think at this point, people, with 3 minutes left here in this hour, I think what the problem is, as I tried to explain the other night, is there has been a schism in the 23 people who are running for charter commission, and the problem is you've got the group that absolutely does not want a charter, but put their name in because they don't want to be left out. Then you've got the group who are a part of the city, and that group basically just wants to change a couple things, treasurer, auditor, and be done with it because they think the city pretty well works fine without it, without any other change. And now you've got a third group that wants a charter, but they want to change a whole lot of things. And, you know, that's a problem because the people who want the charter are often two different groups now. So
where do you get the information that a certain few want to change?
Well, I talked to Robert Landon during the interview here. He said there are some things that he would... I think he said he was for a city manager. I don't think the Bill Collins group's going to be for a city manager.
Right. Well, I think you characterized it, the Bill Collins group. They're just protecting their rice bowl. That's all it comes down to. And they're doing what Bill Collins wants them to do. Because at some point, they were most likely a subordinate to Collins as chief of police or first deputy sheriff and now as mayor. So that's why I think it's an abomination that he and those people in the administration and those working currently getting a check from the taxpayers, be it county or city, they should not be there.
Right.
They should. They should not be discounted to be on an advisory capacity to help frame that charter and what needs to be framed.
And we're going to break. Thank you.
All righty. To a better tomorrow.
There we go. And we'll be back right after this.
I'm not, you know, they made Mrs. Garrett first.